Welcome to What's Poppin', a podcast where we get to know the people of Prince of Peace a little bit better and dig further into the message from the previous Sunday. This week, my guest is Jim Baker. Jim, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Mark. Glad to be here.
As usual, my first question is, Jim, how long have you lived in the area?
My parents moved from San Leandro to Newark in 1954. So okay. It's been a little while.
Yeah, that's a little while. So have you always stayed in the area then?
I moved away to the foothills for 7 years with my first wife. Mm-hmm. And then that broke up and I came back. And okay. I've been living here ever since 1985.
Okay. 1985. All right. So you've been here a long time. How did you get to Prince of Peace?
Prince of Peace, this is a kind of a long story, but it ties in with, I've talked to my friend Lanny Hood.
Yeah.
About and how children hear things in Sunday school
okay.
that shape their entire lives.
All right.
So my grandmother on my father's side was a strict Pentecostal, and he didn't really care for church. So while she was alive, my sister and I went to church, and that's where I heard that Jesus loves me.
Okay.
And then when I was six, my grandmother passed away, and we didn't have to go to church anymore.
Oh.
Or seven, something like that.
Around there, yeah.
But my Boy Scout troops were always involved with churches, usually. And, okay, so fast forward through my reckless 20s and 30s and 40s, and I met Carolyn, and she and I went to a Christmas service at a local all-denominational church.
Okay.
And we really enjoyed it, so we decided to start attending.
Okay.
But we were also listening to some stories by a lady named Jan Karen that are religious-based. They're called At Home in Mitford.
Okay.
About an Episcopal priest. But they talk a lot about salvation, and I was not hearing a lot about salvation in my multi-denominational church.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I'm kind of big on salvation.
As we should be.
Yes. So we started to shop around. They changed the pastor. The format of the church changed. It wasn't a praise band. It was a rock band type church.
Okay.
And so we started shopping around. We went to several different churches and came into Prince of Peace. And were immediately impressed with Pastor Zelt and the facility. And
yeah.
And all of that.
Tough
and,
not to be.
Yeah. And everything about Prince of Peace. So we decided to attend and join. And
okay.
We've been here since, I want to say 90 something, early 90s. Carolyn would know better than me, but it's been a while.
Over so a good long time.
A good long time with Prince of Peace.
And, and all of that started with you hearing about Jesus at Sunday school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, that and the salvation aspect,
yeah.
You know, it's, I don't know, it was really big for me. So,
well, that's important. Right?
It is. So that's how I got here. And I try to be as involved as a guy my age can be.
Yeah. You were quite involved. Yeah. Leadership type stuff for men's groups and things like that. And the walking group.
Right.
Yep.
Right. And that's not actually, I mean, they're all Prince of Peacers, but it's not a church originated activity.
Right.
Yeah. It's just something that Lanny and when I retired 5 years ago, Lanny and I started to walk because I've known Lanny Hood since I was 11.
Oh, really?
Because he grew up in Newark as well.
Okay. I didn't know that. So you guys, okay.
So I met him when I joined the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
And we've been acquaintances ever since and friends here at church.
Huh.
And so we started going out to breakfast, and after about 2 Mondays, I said, you know, this is going to make me fat, which is, I said, instead of that, why don't we walk? And so we started walking, and we got some of the people from Our Savior Lutheran, the Mission Hills
campus,
right, to come with us, and who have moved away or what have you, but it grew. We have about 7 or 8 guys that come pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And
that's really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoyed a lot.
So did you know Lanny was going to this church when you guys first visited?
No.
Yeah.
But
and you came anyways.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe in the back of my mind, because I remember the old church and everything, and I kind of remember him. But he didn't really talk it up in Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
a lot.
It makes sense. Yeah. So. Okay, so that was good history. Another question about your history. What was your favorite job? You're retired now, so looking back on your life, you probably had several jobs or careers. What was your favorite one?
I'd have to say that my last job, because it was a job of choice.
Hmm.
Okay, quick rundown on my work history. I did a lot of, in the 70s when I lived here before I moved,
mm-hmm.
you could get a job anywhere today if you wanted one, making good money.
Okay.
We used to make stuff here and you could get a job. So I worked at factory jobs.
Yeah.
Then I moved away to the mountains thinking, oh, I'll get a job right away. And when I got up to the mountains, there's nothing to do up there.
Oh, yeah.
There's like one lumber mill. And if you're not related,
you're not getting in.
You're not getting in.
Yeah.
So I started cooking.
Oh, okay.
And my wife was working at Denny's. She had been a waitress for many years. And so she got me in. I was started as a dishwasher, busboy, moved up to graveyard cook, and then moved on to other restaurants. And I cooked for 13 years.
Yeah.
So,
That's where you got your line cook skills, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So did industrial catering and stuff like that. But when I came back to the Bay Area, I went back to doing, I transferred as a cook and then went right into working for cable TV. Did that for 7 years.
Okay.
That's a real dangerous job. You know.
Messing with the wires and everything.
Well, and climbing poles.
Climbing poles.
It's just the eventuality of a bad thing happening is right there.
Yep.
And then I left there and went back to cooking. I did some carpentry. That didn't work out. I wasn't good at it. and then went back to cooking to pay, because I'd bought my own home by then and I needed to pay my mortgage. And so, and then I got this job at an electronics plant in Livermore called Triad Systems.
Okay.
And there was this really cute girl that would come and buy pancakes from me every day. And her name was Carolyn DuPont, and who is now Carolyn Baker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did that for another few years. And then now fast forward to her mother passed away. Okay. I helped her clean out the house. We weren't married yet.
Yeah.
And she offered to give me some money because I helped her.
Oh.
And I said, instead of giving me some money, why don't you loan me the money to so I can go to this trade school and learn how to work on copy machines, because I was over 40 at this point. Nobody wanted to hire me. Why do you want to become something else at this point?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Switching careers.
Right.
Yeah.
So having the trade school was getting my foot in the door.
Okay.
And it cost me $10,000. You know. But
oh gosh.
Well, that paid all my bills for 3 months, and it was only a 3-month program.
Okay.
And paid for the school for 3 months. And when I came out, I had a job already at Icon, which was the company that I stayed with the whole time. And I really like field service work because you're your own boss. You're out there doing your own thing.
A little different every day.
Right. And it was just, you know, being outside and not being under the... I've worked in places where you have the boss right there too. And it's
watching
not
you.
That great.
Yeah.
So, all right. Favorite job.
Favorite job. Copy
technician.
Yeah. That's we have some copier issues right now that we're dealing with.
Really? Well, we can talk about that later if you want.
Well, maybe we should. So my next question for you, Jim, is from last week's message.
Yes.
What are two things you thought were interesting or made you think more or you thought were good about the last message?
You know, it was Luke 21.
Yeah.
And 2 Peter. I got caught up in the Left Behind.
Yeah, Left Behind series.
Yeah, and then I talked to Pastor Zeld about it one time. He goes, oh, it's not going to happen like that. pretty much.
Yeah, that's the straight answer, yeah.
But it was an entertaining book for a long time. So the thought of how that's all going to happen and what the, you know, great minds say about, you know, this and that, It's something to look forward to, and it's something to be somewhat cautious of, I think, as well, because a lot of craziness is going to be going on.
Yeah.
And so we have to protect ourselves as best we can, and then we also have to be mindful of where we're going, you know?
Yeah, and the whole idea of being alert, be awake.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He's coming back.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I've heard educated people say that they think that these are those times now, somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And I can believe it, you know, but it does. I also wonder, would God bring his son back for just 2,000 years?
Oh, yeah. Not quite long enough yet.
Right.
Yeah.
If it had been 10,000 years, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or so I think that we still have some more suffering to do. And
So it started when he ascended to the right hand of the Father, right? So that's the beginning of the birth pains. And like every generation thinks this can't get any worse.
Right.
You know, and turns out it can.
So, yes. Yes.
I don't know when he's coming back. I hope he's coming back really soon for our own sake. But I think it can get a whole lot worse than it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Absolutely. And you don't really want to even dwell on that, but
nope.
I like to keep my side of the street clean.
Yeah.
And try to avoid any conflicts and so.
Anything else from the message that stuck out to you?
When he comes back, you were just saying that everyone will know, and everybody will know at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's going to be much bigger than what, you know, what it seems like it might be. It's going to be
a reality,
really big.
Yeah, a reality bending experience for the whole creation's going to know at once that Jesus is back. Like,
right.
No one's going to miss it.
And yeah. There's not going to be any question about what's happening either.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's clear about that. He's going to say all these false messiahs are going to come. Don't listen.
Right.
You know, because you're going to know.
Right.
Like, there's going to be no question that it's him when he comes back. Yeah.
The sun and the stars will fade away, I believe is one of the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So we're going to have like a black hole eat us up or something. Or
who knows?
That's what it's going to be God, though, doing it.
It's going to be God. And it's going to be, yeah, like the things that we know as being natural law aren't going to be the same anymore.
Right.
Like he's going to do something funky with it.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
I just hope they have bicycles in heaven.
Me too. That leads me to my next question, Jim.
Okay.
So, Jim, a lot of folks know this about you, right? That you are a cyclist. And some folks know that I'm a cyclist as well. It's one of the things that we connected on when I first got here. And actually, you lent me a bike for my friend, Dr. Kloa, when he was up here for the men's retreat. And so my question for you to start with is, what is your favorite bike frame material and why?
Okay. Well, I like steel because I'm an old school cyclist. I started in 1970. I bought my first major investment. I took $99 out of my checking account or my savings account and bought a Schwinn Varsity. And I've been riding ever since. I had a teacher in high school that got me started with it.
Yeah.
And I needed a bike to be strong and last. And so steel has always been... You know, there was a big trend towards aluminum in the 80s, and most of those bikes have fallen apart now. And the steel is just the bike that stays together. So I when I bought mine, the one that I have that I ride now, it's a custom made by a guy in Montana.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, it's everything about it I love. It fits me perfectly. It doesn't flex. It's... And I'll be able to give it to my grandkids. I love carbon fiber. It makes great components.
Yeah.
But I just, having been a heavy person most of my life, I just can't imagine carbon fiber lasting me forever.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I ride steel bikes too. I do have a carbon fiber bike. I've ridden everything. I have broken almost every carbon fiber frame that I've owned. And I've only broken one steel frame, and that's because it was a 1984 World Sport Schwinn that I converted to a fixed gear and rode year-round in Milwaukee. Uh-huh. And so the snow and the salt, eventually the bottom bracket just gave way when I was braking one time. Like it was bound to happen. But steel has a ride quality that everyone's trying to mimic.
Right.
Right? And so... And you can make it super light. And so I prefer steel. If you're racing, carbon is the way to go, I think. But if you're not racing, steel is where it's at.
Right.
What do they say? Steel is real.
Steel is real.
Steel is real. All right. So we agree on that. That's fantastic. What is the longest bike ride you have ever done?
I did. It was 110 miles, I think. One summer I did a club ride.
Okay.
And did the Century. And it was about 10 miles over 100. But I've always wanted to ride to Los Angeles.
Oh, goodness.
But every time it almost happened, yeah. Something with one of the people would get sick whatever.
And, yeah. So your 110-mile ride, where was it?
It was out in the valley. So we rode Lodi.
Okay.
And we went up to Party Dam, which is up in the mountains.
Okay.
And then we rode out down south a little ways. And then came back around through the... So it was mostly around Modesto, which is kind of, you know... There's other rides. I've done a Century here in the Bay Area, too, yeah. But it was only 100 miles. But it was twice around the south end of the Bay. I have a route that I take when I ride that. It's 50 miles a loop.
So you did it twice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
So...
I've had some friends who have done the ride from San Francisco down to San Diego... so if you ever do, so I learned from them, if you ever do the ride from here down to LA, is that it's actually relatively easy that direction. There's some huge wind pockets that apparently always are pushing you south. And so they were telling me that there was times where they were going 30 miles an hour, barely even pedaling, and they could talk to each other because the wind was so strong at their back. And so if you're not a cyclist, when it's really windy, if you're going fast, it's actually hard to hear somebody else sometimes when you're talking, especially if you're like, you know, in a line. But in those instances where the wind's at your back, pushing you about the same speed you're going, it's very quiet. It's a very odd, odd feeling. And so they said they had that quite a few times going down from San Francisco down to the LA area. So yeah, I think you could still do it.
I think I could too.
Yeah.
I'm still, you know, I could go out and ride 20 miles right now if I wanted to.
Yeah.
So
good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming and being on the podcast and sharing more about yourself, and let us get to know you a little better.
All right, Mark. Good to be here.